Yo, 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 this is Lou Adams, a.k.a. Astrophysics. I'm chilling with my boys, King Killer, Kurt G, and E. Green on the Hip Hop Digest Show.
This music game is saying I invented every style of music of the past 20 years. I created the genre. I created weekend genre, Trav, Drake. You know, everybody, I'm going to say, With All Love, Future and Thug, also because the Auto-Tune album, 808s, if you think about it, no one think about it. Everybody think about Trav, Weekend, and Drake, but no one thinks about Future and Thug, also the Auto-Tune album. Now, everyone, they added what it was to it, but here's a new genre. It's called Making Your Own Money, Making Your Own Money, Making Your Own Money, Making Your Own Money.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Special announcement, special announcement. Kurt G is not in the building. So that just means it's King Killer E. Green today. What's up, man?
All right, that's what's up. So your man G right now, so he's either in Florida fishing with his brother or in the Caribbean somewhere elsewhere with wifey. So,
yeah,
you know, congratulations, Kurt G, as hard as that man work. You know what I mean?
Doubt. He's having a belated birthday.
No doubt.
Bonanza.
So, yeah, he's out of the game for a minute. But in any case, we're going to hold it down and whatnot. So we're going to do what we usually do. Don't have a lot of topics, but what we got, I guess we'll comment on it.
There it is.
All right. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest Show is, it's not really TMZ. When you mention his name, it's TMZ now, but I guess it's still a music topic. Kanye West's San Francisco show was not sold out, and according to the critics, was boring and monotonous. Said fans were paying $100 or more for the privilege to go to Kanye West's Ty Dolla Sign Vultures. It had the number one record in the country. I mean, yeah, you know, but can't sell out the arena.
And that's interesting. Only $100?
Yeah, for those.
The way concerts are costing these days.
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised that's not $300-$500. But it says starting at $100.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So maybe Nosebleed was $100. But yo, I wonder who Kanye West fans are nowadays.
Because I can't
see you fucking with Kanye West.
Not generally, no. But if Kanye made something good, I would have to admit it and say that it was good because he has the potential.
Yeah, no.
But it's getting rarer as his career goes on that the good stuff. Well, I take that back. That the stuff that attracts me is getting less and less. Because it's more about his antics and his life as far as Kanye West than his music at this point. You know, you agree?
I guess sort of. No disrespect to your dog, whose name
Kanye. Oh, no, we're not talking about my dog, Kanye. Kanye Green is doing very well.
But
Kanye with a C.
Right. So I say that to say, I wonder who his fans are because, which you were very articulate in saying that, you know, what he makes, not that he doesn't have a vault full of good shit, and I'm
right,
sure he does.
Somewhere, yep.
You know, somewhere, his antics, the whole thing, kind of crazy.
His gear, you know what I'm saying? His $20 gear, all that kind of stuff. So it's not even, like, music ain't at the forefront as far as I see it.
Yeah, indeed.
So, but he's got fans.
Oh, yeah, he certainly does.
Somebody's buying them.
Certainly does.
$20 pods, a.k.a. socks.
The article is not really favorable to him. They talk about all the anti-Jewish statements, the praising Hitler. You know, they did touch on, and I'm telling you, and they did touch on his pimp hand a little bit by saying that his current wife is still, you know, what's her motivation? They're openly questioning that in the article.
You remember that Gangstar song, Just to Get a Rep?
Yes, sir.
Somebody should make a song now called Just to Get a Check. Because that's what it's about, yo. I mean, come on, man. Come on. This is Kanye. There's money in them there hills.
So, yeah, that's what's up. All right, yo. Okay, I did, again, just to just shout out to Kirk G. Just one more, gave it another. I did really honestly give it another 30-second smell test, just in case, though.
Are you talking about the album?
Yeah, after the album. Just
yeah, I still ain't do it. Nope. And since you revisited, what anything changed?
Oh my god, it's just horrible, man. I don't know what the fuck these niggas on, yo. But like I said, if that is the new wave, then I'll give him credit for being buoyant enough to think that shit. Or to know, not to think, but to know, yo, I know this shit hot, so this is what we gonna make. And for me, you know, who's still living in the Mesozoic era, like, man, that shit, why? I give him credit for that.
Well, you know, it's good to somebody, for now at least. But like I said, he's more of a business, for lack of a better word, than an artist.
What's up? Well, let's get away from him. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Chuck D from Public Enemy engaging in revisionist history?
Uh-oh.
Well, and like I said, it can happen. Hey, I admitted it, you know, with the Go-Go clip you sent me, you know? I wanted to do revisionist history.
No doubt.
Because in 87, no doubt. I'm dissing.
Yes, you were. We were.
Yeah, in 2024, I'm like, ain't that bad.
Yeah. And even compared to Go-Go's current.
Oh my God, yes. Situation. That's true. Yeah. So anyway, what I mean by that is Chuck D, the title of the article, Chuck D clears up misconceptions about Ice-T's gangster persona. Now, I only say that to say in the late 80s, early 90s, as the Public Enemy front man, he may have been friendly with Ice-T, but it ain't like Chuck D was, he really was an anti-gangster rap guy.
You said he was?
He was. And Ice-T was squarely in that gangster rap. Now, even gangster rap is not gangster rap. Ice-T was... In case you want to call him a gangster rap, but Ice-T was not murdering more.
That didn't come along till Cop Killer.
Right. Well, and hell, and that was self-defense if you really want to argue that.
Yes, sir.
So, I ain't even talking about Cop Killer. I'm talking about Ice-T and his gangster persona on record. How was he murdering people? Did you?
I don't know. It was more pimpish, wasn't it?
Yeah, right. He certainly had more of a pimp walk to him, but I'm trying to think here.
Colors?
Colors just tells the story.
Yeah, so he was telling stories.
I'm trying to think of the lyrics to Squeeze the Trigger. The one where the thing squeeze the trigger, and then it had that crazy bass line in it. I'm trying to think of the lyrics. I'm trying to think about, was Ice-T doing a lot of just unmitigated killing?
Nah, man. I think he was more into fly shit, pimp shit. I don't think... I mean, yes, he spoke on it, but I don't think, per se, he was doing a lot of killing. He was macking.
Okay. All right. That's what's up. Chuck D goes on to say that early tracks like Six in the Morning was setting a template for the subgenre. Chuck D points out that many of Ice-T's songs had morals. Mm. And so, as I was thinking about other guys who were, we always say, I know me and Kirk G say this a lot about Beanie Siegel. Beanie Siegel was a street guy, but it was a kind of moral to the story when he described this blowing up in the street and then ending up in a penitentiary and drinking toilet water. You know what I mean?
Beans was a precautionary gangster tales. Precautionary, I'd say.
Yeah.
Tell you what happens when you do that shit.
Right, exactly. So, I don't know. I mean, when I first looked at that, I was like, damn, is Chuck D doing revisionist history? Because I know Chuck back in the day was really calling those guys, he was calling them Big Willies and you know, painting them and, you know, I'm cool with Biggie, but I'm suing you for 10 crack commandments, you know, on principle. You know what I mean? But he really wasn't down with liquor commercials, St. Ives.
Oh, hell no.
You know what I mean? So Chuck was really in that situation. Now, To see him sort of defending Ice-T and I think doing a little bit of revisionist history, but maybe not. But maybe not.
Well, how is he defending Ice-T is what I want to kind of get to.
Well, like you said, it says that that he says that the Ice-T was, many of his songs had morals. Chuck said that, it points out that many of his songs had morals. Then he goes on to talk about records. He says, as an example, Six in the Morning finds the protagonist, a self-made monster of the city streets, you know, where then he's telling the tale. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Not necessarily just unmitigated murder.
I'm going to have to look back at some of them lyrics and them songs. But I don't off the top, and again, it's not like I know every freaking record Ice-T made, but off the top, I don't get the murderous type stuff. A little bit of gang talk, but from just, you know, and charge it to my memory, I just remember heavy-handed pimp shit. You could put him in the same category as like a Too Short type shit. So, because Too Short wasn't really killing motherfuckers, he was just pimping.
Okay. And
that's kind of what I received from Ice-T, but like I said, I'm not a, you know, an expert on his lyrics.
Got you. Shout to both Ice-T and Chuck D. You know, some of my favorite people in the culture ever. You know, the way they represent. But I'm certainly gonna call them if you know. I think you're doing a little bit of, you know, slick talking. I mean, hey, look, we all have our moments.
Oh, yes, sir. We all do. Well, speaking of Ice-T real quick, it's unrelated, but he had a working from home. You see these stupid ass daytime commercials and shit. He's on some car insurance commercial, and him and Vivica Fox. And usually when I see it, it's just, I don't really pay attention to it, but one day I just heard him yell, "Shut up!" I was like, what the hell? So he's taking his Ice-T personality and put it in that commercial. It was pretty funny, him telling the dude to shut up about his car.
Oh, man, you know, I think about Ice-T. I remember when I seen him on the Wheaties box, or he's on one of them cereal boxes, and I'm thinking to myself, damn, yo, he went, you know, Ice-T that we know from the Six in the Morning, and then, like you said, all through that Cop Killer, and all through that, and then at the end of the day, you know, he's on cereal boxes.
Cereal boxes. Had a TV show about his family.
Yeah.
He's on that cop show, I guess. I don't know.
He's been CSI, on Law and Order for, not, Law and Order. Order for 25 years.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's a career.
Yeah, he ain't the Ice-T that we knew back then. Well, on TV, at least.
No doubt. All right, yo. All right, let's keep it rocking. Next top going to Hip Hop Digest is, and this is, again, you say his name, it's Job TMZ, but we're going to really talk about the latter. Saigon. Those of you who don't know. Yeah, remember Saigon?
Oh, Saigon. Yeah, Saigon. The dragon, right?
Yeah, exactly. Blame Sean Combs for ruining hip hop. I'm glad they got him. Get him out of here.
Oh, my goodness.
So I only want to say this to say, not so much about Combs, but I guess it is about Combs, and not about the allegations. We done been through that. We'll, as further things warrant, we'll talk about that later. But I tell you what, the statement, he ruined hip hop. I think there's some meat there. I think there's some meat there only because people who region rep often say, East Coast niggas, especially niggas like us, they call us East Coast niggas. Be like, yo, you know, y'all getting on this person from the South or that person from the West. I don't really never hold East Coast cats accountable. And I say, nah, bro, that ain't true. And Combs would be one of them.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, Bad Boy Records in the days of Biggie and Craig Mack, that was a different world. Got plenty of them records, no doubt about it. The Combs himself, I personally hold responsible for everything that came out after Combs with zero talent. Because as much as I may want to look at a guy like DJ Khaled and be like, yo, son, you just, you standing in front of the talent, Coons did it first.
Oh, yeah, and heavily.
Yeah. Or I might want to look at a guy and be like, yo, you really not an MC or whatever, whatever. And we know that, whether if it's, you know, Junior Mafia people or Coons or anybody else, they're writing the lyrics for that nigga. He's no MC. And this cat had number one records in the country. He had number one records in the country. You know, at some point, or at least number one records on the rap chart, from a guy who does not, is not an MC, was never an MC, and became a professional prop, well-paid, ridiculous. Saigon, to me, has got a point. Get him out of here.
Well, I don't mean to rain on it, but as you mentioned, we have been talking about this for a long, long time. Anybody that's been listening to Hip Hop Digest knows that we ain't had no cut cards in it, and none of that. It's been on that since that started, that bull. And for people to just feel like it's okay to speak out or say something, it's hard for me to shine a light on you. Like, where was you 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago?
You know what? Even if Saigon said it 15 years ago, I don't know, especially if people said it 15 years ago, we may not have heard it, and they definitely would have squashed him further than he already is. It's just a no-name now. I personally have several recordings from Saigon. Always thought he was talented, but obviously didn't want to play the game. I want to read his exact statement. This Negro, Puffy, flipped the entire hip-hop culture into all about worshiping nothing but money. That's why I'm kind of glad they got his ass up out of here. Go look at the content in hip-hop music before All About the Benjamins. So that's his point.
Okay. It's very hard for me to give credence to these Johnny Come Latelys, B. I'm sorry.
No one, but
Combs is a super easy target right now.
That's true, but put it to you like this. I'm gonna throw the maple leaf up. Okay. You know, especially me personally, I take responsibility and real critical to Maple Leaf for, you know, better than 10 years and more. Right? But Hip Hop Digest, King Killer really is not moving. I'm on record saying about the Maple Leaf and what I thought, but, you know, it's not moving the needle. I don't have no influences. He's more famous and more paid than he ever has been, you know? So,
yeah, no doubt.
I put Saigon in that situation. Saigon is a known MC, not well known, talented, I think very talented, you know?
Right,
but,
right.
You know, what can I say? His opinion wasn't going to move the needle on Coons at the top of his fame.
And do you think it'll move it now?
I'm thinking that I see him on the front page of a Dick Ride blog saying it. So well,
there you go. That's the Dick Ride blog, and again itself trying to use Saigon to say what they've been feeling for years, but they had to Dick Ride.
No,
I ain't giving out no trophies.
Oh,
B.
Man, so basically, no, he's saying they done put Saigon out on the corner. You know what I mean?
On the corner, on the corner, on blast. Yep, here's his full quote.
Oh, man.
And a picture of him from fucking 10 years ago.
I hadn't really thought about it like that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, B. It's just, Combs is a very touchy subject right now. And this is not new shit.
Mm.
People have known this shit for a long, shit that we had no clue. We might have had an idea that some of that weird Hollywood shit and music industry shit was popping. But we were strictly talking about the lackluster music, just
right.
The music, because that's right, what right. We do. We don't care about none of that. Well, let me take that back too, because you got to watch what you fucking say out here. We do care about people being abused and mistreated, that kind
of
stuff.
Of course.
However, the Hip Hop Digest show is about hip hop music
mm.
and topics like that. So we didn't get into all that foolishness, but you know, we knew it was bad back then, and people knew it was bad. Missing You, that whole Come on, yo.
Yeah, no doubt. I get it.
Frontman should be his name. That's all.
I get it. I want to give a shout out to Diff. Couple of things. The Run DMC doc is out on Peacock. Haven't had a chance to peep that yet. My schedule is really tight. Haven't had a chance to sit down and watch that yet, but definitely want to try to get to that. And he put a question out, and he put a question, not so much because I don't have any topics, so it's going to be a question that he put out there. Your boy did put out there, he's like, three MCs. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest as we get past Coombs. Three MCs who can hold their own on a track with others, just point blank. And so I remember the two. One was Method Man. One was Luda. Who's the third one?
The third one is Terminology.
Okay.
Terminology, Method Man, and Luda.
So I'll take Meth first. Meth is easy. I always thought that Meth was a better group member than solo, always. You know, except, you know, Meth has his moments, but Meth as a solo artist, he'll embarrass you. He'll embarrass you on your own track if you get him up there, because he has one of the better flows in the industry. So, yeah, it takes care of Meth. Luda. Okay, Luda, you're going to say yes because you're going to recognize his voice. He isn't a mushmouth guy. He's competent on the microphone. It's not like you're going to be like, oh, who are the two young boys? I don't know, but I heard Luda, because you know his voice. You know? So, Terminology? Well, I love Term, but I'm throwing Term in there with a bunch of guys sort of in the middle. There's a lot of guys like Term who will get on a track and embarrass you, but most of the general commercial rap public would be like, well, who's that? If they're interested, that is about Term. I have three guys? Do I think they can hold their own on tracks? Quickly, probably. I don't know. Off the top of my head, I still say Torre. His voice is so nuts.
Yeah.
You know, that would be one off the top of my head, would be Torre. But that would be my underground representative. Who would be my commercial representative?
Oh, you're doing it like that, huh?
Well, yeah, I'm kind of putting them in that because, you know, Terminology is still, he would be underground. That's where I would put Torre in the underground. Who would be a representative? Who you think commercially?
Shit. Well, first, let me read exactly what Diff said. I've come to the conclusion that you can put these three MCs on a track with anyone, and they'll hold their own. Terminology, Method Man, and Luda. And you gave your eloquent comments on that. And I would have to say, Terminology, yeah, I agree what you said and what Diff said.
Okay.
Because Terminology is nice.
Right?
Very nice. And I've never heard him on no record that I was like, yeah, he's suffering or never, nothing. He's always been a highlight on a track when I hear him. But just like you said about Method Man, I don't know if I want to listen to a whole Term album just listening to him rhyme on a whole album.
I got to
get him when I want to hear him.
You feel me? Right.
Same with Method Man. He's destroying any track he's on as a guest feature or whatever. He's doing his thing.
Right.
And I think that's why people want him on his shit.
Indeed.
But then we came to Luda, and I was like, damn, yo, you got me messed up with that one. Because, you know, and I even said that. I put in replied Luda, and he said, yes, indeed, I'm standing on that. So I appreciate that you're standing on that. But I have a slight appreciation for Luda. His every rhyme almost sounds the same to me.
Okay.
The way he does the inflections with his voice, all of that. It's kind of like always the same thing to me. So I don't know if that would work for me. I'm trying hard to think of a record where he was featured, but I don't know. See, so to me, that's insignificant. Somebody I would throw in there is 3Stax as a feature on somebody's shit.
You know what, man? Well, that's almost, not that that's not good, but that's no, you know what? Because you know what? When you mention his name, you know, that's almost countercultural because he don't want that.
You but he's done it, though, B. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's
I don't
done
want
it.
You to mention my name. I'm done with that rap shit. It's almost countercultural. So I would not. I would not. Although, under normal circumstances, he would be one of the first people you can name. But my God, he just don't want to do it. You know, he's
under
obstinate.
Normal circumstances.
Yeah, under normal circumstances.
Okay, okay, so can I give you another one?
Sure, please.
All right, let's remove Three Stack because he don't want to be on air. Then I'd have to say J. Cole then instead of Luda.
Oh, no way. Nah,
God.
I'm riding.
You want to listen to Diamonds again? B, you want to listen to some shit?
I'm riding. I tell you what, man. J. Cole, this is not player hating J. Cole, but I'm going to ride with Diff. If you're going to say I'm going to region rep a little bit and I'm trying to put a guy from the South, I'm going to ride with Luda because, again, I think that Luda's voice and on it, and we're talking about a shared track. We're talking about a track with maybe one or two other guys that he can get on there, and then you're not even going to mistake who it is. Then that way you can
push it not.
And then you're going to be able to take an account to his lyrics. And J. Cole.
Goodness. Ooh, boy. Well, see what you did, Diff. I don't know what the listeners are thinking right now. They probably got a list of 10 other cats, off the top of me, I'm not dissing Luda, but
hey, look, like I said, and trust me, you know, a gang of young bulls will be like, yeah, J. Cole is one of those guys, you know what I mean?
Kendrick? Mister, we haven't heard from him in a long time?
Yeah, Kendrick, man, he's missing in action. Huh? He needs to put something out.
Wait, didn't Eminem murder Jay-Z on his own record? Don't get me started.
Now, I'm really having a hard time. Not that I couldn't name a lot of, you know, commercially acceptable guys. I could. You know, I think probably if I had to pull somebody out of the stack, I'd probably reach into that woo bag and pull Ghost out. Because I still think Ghost is sharp. I still think his voice is distinctive. If I'm gonna pull in that woo bag, so that's what would be that.
But does he do that a lot though? I don't recall him being featured on many people's records.
No, not some. I don't think it's a matter as if he's featured. I'm just saying if you're doing a record, say you're an executive producer and you got some money to spend or whatever, you'd be like, we can get this rapper, we can get that rapper, or whatever. You think of what is acceptably commercial. And even that is a stretch because, I mean, who the fuck you gonna get Travis Scott?
Ooh, see, names like that, no, ain't even gonna come up in my conversation, B. Ain't gonna happen. You imagine a record with Method Man, Terminology, and Scott? Come on, man. That record ain't getting made.
Sound like Ed Lover. He's like, come on, son.
Travis Scott featuring Travis Smiley.
Oh, man.
There you go for that. No, B, you're not doing that.
Yeah, shout out to Div. And anybody else on the text chain, if you want to bring up three that could be featured on a guest appearance record, you know, we'd like three names if you got them. If not, it's all good.
Don't say Three Stacks.
And probably, yeah, just don't say him.
What about Big Boy?
Well, yeah, I mean, Big Boy would be fine. You know, Big Boy would certainly be fine, and no one would be opposed to that type of thing. Quickly, and we'll get out of this topic, since I said Travis Scott, somebody posts the thing on the text chain where the young bull and it's one of the young bulls who actually said it out loud. He was like, look, old head rappers, or old heads, meaning us. It's like, yo, them niggas, they concentrate too much on lyrics, right? He was like, I don't care if a rapper says diddly do, as long as he says it diddly do in a vibe I could feel, that's what we into. And I appreciate that.
You just
want
to listen to music.
You know what? But look, I appreciate that. you know. I appreciate that. Man, I appreciate that because, you know, fuck all this handout shit. Like I said this on the text chain. Young boys want handouts. Yo, you should be able to put vibe rappers on GOAT lists. Nigga, make your own.
Yeah, yeah, and the GOAT list of vibe rappers.
Right, and then canonize these niggas yourself.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Right.
You tell us what's good in your lane.
Right. So,
and we'll respect what you say about what's good in your lane.
Indeed. And it's so, actually, let me go back to the text chain because I'm grabbing all the shit from the text chain to power this show right now. Who posted this? Shout out to T-Bear183, who posted Knife Wonder. And he's, nah, I ain't going to say another one, but they got him on an Instagram clip talking about leave these young boys alone. Leave these young people alone. If these young people are doing their thing and then they sample a record, I guess somebody must have sampled some R&B 90s shit. And then I guess people got offended by that. And he's like, yo, leave these kids alone. He was like, yo, you know, you can't do that. You got to let these young kids learn. And I guess in principle, I agree with him. In principle. But the actuality, and he did a very good job of breaking it down specifically. You know what I'm saying? I am pro sample. And if you want to sample a Music Soul Child record or Erykah Badu or whatever, go for it. I'm down with that. You know what I mean? The part about leaving the young boys alone, though, I don't know about that. You gotta persevere. You gotta do trial by fire, I think. Because we had to do trial by fire. It doesn't matter. You know, old heads want to do revisionist history. Again, I bring that up. Stevie Wonder, he ain't like hip hop. Let's be honest.
Nope.
Quincy Jones ain't like it. Wynton Marsalis ain't like it.
Not until he got lucrative.
Yo, rest in peace, James. Yo, rest in peace, James M. Toomey. You know what I'm saying? He didn't like it.
Oh, he definitely didn't like it.
You know what I mean? Anita Baker didn't like it. You know,
definitely didn't.
You know what I'm saying? Anita knows. She's the big deal up at Elektra Records. Then out of nowhere, somebody by the name of Busta Rhymes and the label was putting whole budgets behind Bus. And Anita was like, no, my record's first.
Yep.
And they was like, nah. So they didn't like it. You know what I mean? They didn't like it. And that's all right. Because I put that next to my heart because at that point you had to persevere.
Right.
You had to push through. And this is the thing. You know what I'm saying? So many people who say that, and it kind of drives me nuts. It's a Knife Wonder. I don't care. Knife Wonders and the Jim Joneses of the world and any of the other Questloves, any of the other politicians. Really, what you have to do is just speak from a value point. You know what I'm saying? Pete Rock doesn't like trap, but he's not like a trap through a value point of what he takes to make music. Digging, handcrafted beats, loops that are harmonically put together, the whole shit. You know, trap niggas don't do that. And you don't understand trap, neither do I. Now, somebody who's a trap expert, he can easily point out to me, these are the top five trap records. I may have questions about that. I may not appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? A la the Canadians' music. But damn it, yo. Fuck that. They don't criticize. I guess that's what I get down to. Leave the young boys alone. Don't criticize. What do you mean?
Well, it's hip-hop is chasing its tail, B. And the tail that's being chased is respect. Young boys want respect. We want respect. But we're too busy chasing it to give it. So I kind of agree with what Knife said. Leave it be, because at some point we have to stop being them old men talking about get off my lawn, because they're not on our lawn. They're in our neighborhood. They're definitely in our neighborhood. And when we get out of our driveway and drive down the street and we see that shit, we're like, dang. And they looking right back at us as we drive by in our Wagoneer, looking at us with the would Pamela aside, talking about, look at that old shit. Who wants to see that shit? You know what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of us. We live in this hip-hop community. But we're not giving either ourselves. I mean, giving each side is not giving what each side feels is due respect. At this point in the game, B, we do have to leave them alone and let them do their thing. Because the complaining, berating, talking shit has not worked all this time. It just creates a further divide. Because they're not going to respect what we, and I say we, people of our age,
indeed,
in the hip-hop game, created, laid out for them. They don't give a fuck because they feel like they're doing their own thing. And in a way, they are. They took what we created and made it what they like. And that's all there's to it. There's nothing else to it. We can't compare it. It's something totally different. So we either have to, I want to say, ignore it, or we have to just appreciate it for what it is.
So I only got really one problem with that. On principle, just like I said with Knife Wonder, he's right on a certain principle. And you're right. I hear exactly what you're saying. But I'm always going to take it back to the base here. Is, let's say, doing your own thing an excuse? And let me explain this. If you're doing rock, right, and you really can't play, you know, musicians are going to say, you know, drums or guitar, keyboard, you can't play. You're not good enough to play in this band. That goes way back. I don't give a fuck. Louis Armstrong and Count Basie and them niggas was like, yo, you can't. I see you playing the horn some, but you're not good enough to play in this band. You know what I mean? So I think that gets missed. That there's a standard. Now, if you want to say that, okay, this isn't your type of hip-hop, so it shouldn't be subjugated to the same rules of play. I mean, your production's not like Pete Rock. Well, everybody can be a fucking Pete Rock. Very few are. You know what I'm saying? But then I'm assuming, I don't know, maybe, you know, the 12-year-old on YouTube, I'm going to teach you how to make every trap beat ever made. And he literally is on there in the next 5 minutes. He's got a trap beat that sounds just like your favorite guy. You know, I mean, I get it. And certainly they're doing that now. I've seen people, we're going to replicate the Jazzy Jeff scratch for the routine for Peter Piper. Or I've seen people take all the samples from said record and recreate. So, yes, that can happen. But I guess the only point I'm saying is down to the talent. The MC talent. Is Canadian Travis Scott a better MC than you name it from the mid-2000s, from the mid-90s? Probably not.
On a topic of go, B, this is where I gotta reel you back in.
Please.
A topic of go, your man said it's about a vibe.
He did, yes.
And it is about a vibe for them.
So I'm agreeing, and that's why I bring that up, because he said this quiet part out loud that everybody else fails to say. To Ninth Wonder, I'm like, Ninth, then you need to be, what are you defending? Are you defending them to be like, oh, yo, this shit right here is as good as any particular, you name the producer, okay? No, Ninth Wonder should have been like, yo, you can leave these kids alone. They not really doing hip hop. It's this vibe thing. So don't try to compare him to, you know, ex producer from the 90s through the mid 2000s.
Right.
Including himself. Ninth Wonder don't make beats like that. I think you have to be specific on that,
right,
to disarm.
Right.
And that young bull, whoever he was, said that quiet part out loud. Old heads, if you want to concentrate on lyrics too much, I don't care if this nigga says ABCs. If it's ABCs and a vibe and auto-tune, yo, nigga, that's my shit. Ding. Thank you, sir. That way there's no confusion. There is no get off my lawn. Because you're right. He on his own lawn.
Yep.
He on his own lawn.
And this is...
So me. It's conflation. Emotionally, I feel conflated. Because cats are like, yo, this young bull is... Or they come up in the rap category. Or I'm conflated. I'm like, emotionally, I'm like, get the fuck out of here, nigga. And your vibe, you know, associates.
Well, this is not... I'm going to remind you again that this is not new, because the little dude used to wear the beads in his hair, little Yachty, a long time ago. Long time ago, said that same thing. Sort of. So,
okay, that's real. That's real. I think that's what I want to get to. I think that you can take the old heads and be like, leave the young kids alone because they're not doing what you love.
Right. There's a lot of energy being spent like trying to defend what we love and have had all of these years with. Too busy trying to defend that against something that is not in the same ring.
Now it's very interesting, but it's very interesting, and my emotional conflation comes in maybe from a sort of frustration. You know that. I think Ninth Wonder knows that. I know that. Kurt G knows that. But guess what? The Dick Ride Blog Cat don't know that.
B clicks and likes. Them dudes and ladies behind them keyboards are not all feeling all the stuff that they saying, but they feeling when they get them clicks and likes and them checks come in.
Damn.
If we sat up here and talked about and said Drake's album was amazing and blah blah, we probably get 100,000 likes in one day. You know what I'm saying? But that ain't what we do. That ain't what we do. But I also don't want us to be the sourpusses that much anymore. We just got to stick to what we know and love. That's it. Because if we spend time talking about a vibe that we don't understand, we're wasting breath.
Okay, that's true. But I don't know, man.
Emotionally, no, we're all attached.
I actually,
but we have to,
you know what?
Reel that in.
I feel you. I enjoy being a protagonist.
And it's okay.
Being a sourpuss. I enjoy being a dinosaur. I enjoy being a hater. I enjoy it.
Oh, my goodness.
I enjoy it.
You're going to wear it proudly, huh?
Yeah, because I'm built for the battle.
Battle,
right? I was going to say, I'm built for the battle, but a battle may never come because they're not really doing hip hop. They're really not doing rap.
Right.
They're really, no matter what the media says.
Right. We know that. And again, that does make me want to rail a lot. Because it doesn't seem fair. That's why. And guess what? What is fair? Fair is a fucking emotional connection to something that you feel should be.
Indeed. Right.
Right?
Indeed.
But if there's 10 people in a room and 9 of them feel that other shit is fair, and you yourself be like, damn, this shit ain't fair, at some point you gotta make a choice, B. And my choice, I said it a long time ago too, maybe a year or two ago, I said, you know what? I'm about to be off these young boys. I don't really care. I don't really care. If they want to have a discussion, I'll have a discussion. But I'm not going to sit and have a talk about going back and forth about what's better or who does it best. Because I know if we're talking about hip hop, who does it best. If we're talking about a vibe, I don't know. Shit, I could vibe to Kenny Loggins. Does that make him the greatest ever at what he does? I don't know. So I'm not going to argue that, but I can argue, and as you very well can, we can argue specific points about what hip-hop is, what it came from, what it embodies. We can do all of that. So if the vibe, and yes, there is a hip-hop vibe, but this vibe that we're talking about these younger cats like, it's a different vibe, and it's okay, but just don't come at me saying that Travis Scott is as good as Rakim. is then we're going to have a problem.
All right, that's what's up. Well, I tell you what, again, I already said it. I'm going to put on the armor of God. I'm ready to go to war.
Oh, he's shielded up.
I'm ready.
This is Sparta.
Yes, exactly. I'm ready.
Wow.
I'm ready.
I feel you, B, but it's been a good fight too, B, but you know.
Hey,
at some point we gotta let him go.
Nah, B. I'm a Marine. My boots.
They're gonna find out. Okay.
Going out with my boots on, kid.
Here's a little grenade for you.
Okay.
Little grenade. Hip hop is supposedly 50 years old, right?
Yeah, indeed.
So that means from day one, the shit that we like and was part of is still here to this day, right? Yes.
Okay.
Let's see how long this current vibe stuff lasts, and then. That time tells all, right?
Well, you know what? That's a true statement, because one of the things that power me is the sense of history. The sense of history. So what started in the park is no longer in the park, and it has been monetized to the hilt.
Yep.
You know, there's certain things that we can point out that aren't really, shout to the writers in L.A., graffiti. Just really not side by side, which is, that's our art. That's our culture's art. Again, give a shout out to the writers in LA keeping it tight. So there's a few things that we can point out, but it's the breadth of history. It's the breadth of history. And when I say this, I still say it, but I truly believe it. The father of every young bull should be Soulja Boy, but he is largely forgotten.
Speaking of money, huh?
Hey, whatever. I'm just saying, the father of everything. Now, some people would say vibe, that part of hip-hop really started with Kanye and this, that, and the third. Okay, maybe there's some historical things in there. But I'm talking about the monetizing online.
Marketing.
Marketing, whatever you want to call it. Soulja Boy selling a lot of records under label noses. This MySpace shit that no longer exists, but the whole shit, Soulja Boy, he invented this whole shit. I'm not saying his name because I fuck with him. I'm saying his name because the historical record speaks exactly what he's done, but he's forgotten. So that's to your point.
History. There's a whole lot of young bulls forgotten already.
Yes, exactly. Already. Exactly. And commercial hip hop is strewn.
And when I say forgotten, I mean, don't remember their names at all. We could say Soulja Boy. You say Soulja Boy name because, again, he keeps himself socially relevant. But
well, you say his name because you're right, because he gets on a, because anytime somebody puts a camera up to us, he's going to act like a trained seal. But that being said, but still, you know, and that's the point. That's one of the things that power me, is that I'm like, okay, yeah, wow, the new vibe. It's 5 years. The new vibe. One of the closest friends of the show, I remember him saying, you know, the particular record had a Miami club vibe to it. Talk about vibe. Is anybody still making Miami club vibe joints?
Welcome to Miami.
I mean, I'm just saying. So the breadth of history is one of the things that power me, you know, to have that combo. And to put bets, certainly going to lose bets. Going to lose bets on the Canadian, you know, because somebody's going to stick him in a Hall of Fame somewhere. You know what I mean? Just, you know, Kurt G says it all the time. He's going to end up in that Rocky Buchanan jump off. I ain't going to it.
Yeah, you ain't going to like it, but there's going to be other people in there you ain't happy about either. But that's the embodiment of hip-hop, indeed. Of rap.
No doubt.
And I'll go ahead and say that as long as it's a... And there's no doubt in my mind that the Universal Hip Hop Museum will embody what hip hop is.
Oh, of course.
But that means it has to mention these other pieces. So I don't give a demerit for that at all. Unless as soon as you walk in the door, pow, there goes Drake. You know what I'm saying? Then I'm like, come on, man.
No doubt. That's what's good. So,
all right. That's what's up. What else do I got? I don't think that I got too much more.
Really trying to stay away from some of the more protagonist folks out there.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's been a... Has any music popped into your ears lately? I have honestly been on the road all over the place, so I haven't had a chance to sit down. But I can tell the world there's a new Let the Dirt coming.
Okay, so we got a new Let the Dirt jumping out there.
Tell the world that.
Yeah, look like our friend of the show, you know, saying family member Sim City. Look like he percolating. I don't know, you know what I mean? So yeah, there's some friends of the family who are out there doing their thing or whatever.
Grayskull.
Grayskull. Shout out to
I'm
one
still to still listen to that. Was it Grayskull Day?
Shout the one to Dial though, who should have listened to his run. He threw us in there lovely. So shout the one to Dial.
Yeah, he did one of those little internet 30-45 second freestyles and threw us in there kind of special.
That was lovely. So shout to him. So what I want to get to now, I want to get to the rest in peace portion of the show, because there's a couple of things out there you know, that we want to get to. First of all, I want to say rest in peace to, and let me get his name right, okay, Akira Toyamaya. Now, if I butchered his name, I really apologize. He is a Japanese animator who passed away and apparently is responsible for Dragon Ball. I don't know anything about that, but my daughter came to me and was like, "Did you hear?" And I was like, "Actually, yes, I heard about that because of folks on the text chain who was repping heavy." Okay. Probably got some valuable videotapes out there, you know what I mean, of his material, and he's responsible for that. Apparently, according to my daughter, a lot of African Americans was into that Dragon Ball specifically. Yes. So again, I'm speaking from a point of ignorance because I don't know, but I certainly said that I will give him a rest in peace on the show. Again, like I said, I hope that I am pronouncing
that's Stan Lee level B.
Oh, okay. See, no doubt. So I certainly hope that I'm pronouncing his name correctly. And then, of course, in hip-hop news, definitely we want to give a shout-out to Boss. And I got her government name. I had her government name here somewhere, but I totally lost it. Shit, right on in the middle of the show.
Oh, it's all good, B. We do this live. We record this live.
Yeah. Indeed. Let's see.
He's like this. Sometimes you get a real name, we stall it out. It's all good.
Okay, here we go. Yes. Still don't have her name.
Was it Law? I don't want to say it.
It was Michelle something Laws, and it's just Laws. Disrespectful because I can't. I had the thing up, and of course, you know, I'm not good on this phone thing.
Well, it's all good. While you're doing that, I'll get it for sure. I think I had it too.
I got it.
Okay, cool.
All right. It is Lachelle Marie Laws.
There we go.
Who hails from Detroit, Michigan. Okay.
Detroit.
Right. And she passed away. Now, she is not, she is more than a rapper of said note here, because I was looking at all the blogs and I wasn't the only one who got it wrong just now as far as didn't have her name on deck. You know how many things that I seen said first rapper on Def Jam dies? And she was not the first rapper on Def Jam, although the Hip Hop Digest audience already knows that. Okay.
Yeah, that's insane.
She was the first rapper on Def Jam West, which was a label that Russell opened up to capture the early 90s sound of Los Angeles, California, if you will, Compton, whatever. To capture that sound, to get some people on the label. I got all the singles that dropped off that album, as a matter of fact. I got the album on cassette. And so the thing about her, and shout to Diff, he was also saying that her flow was absolutely impeccable.
Oh, yeah, she was great with it. What she did, she was great with it.
She actually absolutely had a flow that was impeccable. But her career was one of kind of, I would say, up and down. So the first thing you would point out to is Boss, as her persona on record was just this Los Angeles gang-banging female, you know. And then, of course, in the mid-90s, I guess it came out that she was raised up in a middle-class family in Detroit.
Her parents did that to her in the Wall Street Journal.
Okay, but that is something that is funny because if you listen to the record, which I never really understood that, but if you listen to the record, there's a clip from her mom at the beginning of the record, and there's a clip from her dad. It's not like she was hiding that, you know? Now, I don't know how she was living her life in the interim. Maybe she really...
Foul.
Yeah, right. Maybe
I did the research. Okay.
All right, so maybe she was fell into a rap character and didn't really try to live that.
She was living that in L.A.
Unfortunate. So, but yes, so I don't think she tried to hide that because the skit says that at the beginning of her album. All right.
Yeah, but people didn't care about that part.
No, actually, it was funny. Even in the media back then, it was like, "Oh, boss, you fake, you fake."
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me? This is a fucking character shit. You know?
What it was is it cut because you know, we heard the record and we heard the graphicness of her rhymes, right? And then we don't know her. But then we just assume, man, this is what's popping for her. And then the story comes out by her mom and dad in the Wall Street Journal, which would give you the idea that, damn, they got money. Wall Street Journal article talking about this? But, like I said, when you do your research, you find out, yes, she did grow up like that in Detroit. Very well. But, like some people in life, that life doesn't work for them. So they go do something else. She went to L.A., and she was living that life, homeless for a while, on the street, and this, that, and other. And got on with the right person and made a record and got on with, I think it was Quick.
Yeah, DJ Quick. Quick discovered her.
And it was history from there that she became great.
Right.
But that article, I think, partially led to her not being as successful in that genre anymore.
Well, indeed. And then, of course, later on in life, obviously, she developed kidney failure and suffered with kidney failure for many, many, many years, and I presume died of that recently. Just a very, just very cautionary tale here. I don't know what it was in her life that caused her to go to L.A. and go through all the things that she had to go through. Great success for one record. It shows you how fickle the public was, because she was really a talented MC, but I guess when you come out as boss and then it's all about, you know, AKs and, you know, slinging dope, you know. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It is a cautionary tale, but certainly, again, we
unless
say
your name is Rick Ross.
Yeah. Well, you know,
unless
I tell you what, that's a whole nother thing. Ross, he can thank 50 Cent for that, for the rest of his regular great life that he's having. Okay, and that's a whole nother thing. We won't get to that on this show. But that being said, we want to say rest in peace to Boss. And to Mr. Let me get his name right again. To Mr. Akira Toyama. And again, if I'm butchering that, I apologize. We say rest in peace to those two people. Indeed, and as we usually do in the Hip Hop Digest. Again, Kurt G's on vacation, so there are no albums of the week. You know what I mean? So none of that this week and whatnot.
Not this week.
Right. Me and Igri thought we would just get in to do a quick show or whatever. But don't let it be said, man. Hey, King Killer, these are my words. I'm ready for the battle. I'm ready for the battle. So I won't be one of the ones who is leaving the Young Bulls alone.
And I'm more like Bruce Lee. I know I'll fuck you up in an argument when we talk about hip hop. So I'm gonna take my. Just be like, all right, you got it. Yo, go ahead.
He's going past my lawn. And I'm gonna spray him. I'm gonna end up spraying him with Roundup and shit.
Yeah, killer gonna run out on his porch and mean mug him as they drive by.
Right.
Oh my god. goodness.
You better know it. So, no doubt.
I guess that's it.
All right, that's it. So, we'll see you on the flip side. Thank you for rolling with us.
Yeah, hopefully Kurt will be back coming off his world excursion wherever he is out there.
All right, no doubt. Good night.
Peace.
Yo, Eva, what's up, man? They be bugging. They won't play our records on the radio, man. Say we violent, man. They need to look at the news, you know what I'm saying? Somebody need to kill that noise. Man, what you doing with that up under your shirt? Aw, man, it's time we put some head out. Word. Let's get busy, E. Come on, homeboy. Squeeze the trigger. Man, I'm tired of this nonsense. Sweat my crew trying to come to the show. Searching my car. Man, I'm sick of the cop. Rampage on stage. My crew's in a rage. Search my posse, found the Uzi, but missed the 12 gauge. Maniac, I'm a rhyme brainiac. Living on the edge of a razor. Remember that. Cold rolling, thick as a shake. I'm rocking hard as a quake. I can live on bread and water, on lox and steak. My mind's a riot gun. There ain't none big about to unload the ammo. Trigger.
You fight.
Got it.
To live.
Police still have no leads toward the apprehension of the South Side Slayer. Death toll stands at 10.
Has it ever occurred to you the president might be the one who wants you dead?
They say I'm violent, they should watch the TV. Say I'm brutal, you should check the PD. You made me, now your kids rave me. I rap about the life that the city streets gave me. Murder intrigue, somebody must bleed. Miami Vice, small time, LA's the big league. From the Rolling 60 to the Nickerson G, Pueblo's Great Street, this is what I see. The jungle, the 30s, the VNG. Life in LA ain't no cup of tea. And they be saying, I'm ill, yo. Squeeze the trigger.
Squeeze the trigger.
the motherfucking K. Let's call up the posse, let's end this noise. Word.
I'm going deep.
Every now and then I start flipping and get to thinking about deep shit.
you can trust me.
Fuck, I know.
I'm just like you. Yo, boy, that shit you talking about, that's some deep shit. I'm telling you, our fuckers can't really get with that, relate to that shit.
I just fixed me tell them, man. Anytime she comes, she's detrimental, man. Yes, man. Hold this, man. I make me tell them again, man. Boy, she too hot. Tell them, man, she too hot. Tell them, she too hot. And everybody know that. Yes, she too hot. Tell them, she too hot. Anytime she comes, she said the pussy get flat, come.
Some dumb shit.